Grace, mercy, and peace be with you from God our Father, our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Names. Names have meaning and significance and power. When the 1960s ended, San Francisco's Haight-Ashbury district reverted to high rent, and many hippies moved down the coast to Santa Cruz. They had children and got married, too, though in no particular sequence. But they didn't name their children Melissa or Brett. People in the mountains around Santa Clara grew accustomed to their children playing frisbee with Little Time Warp or Spring Fever. And eventually Moonbeam, Earth, Love, and Precious Promise all ended up in public school. That's when the kindergarten teachers first met Fruit Stand. Fruit Stand. Hang in there. Every fall, according to tradition, parents bravely apply name tags to their children, kiss them goodbye, and send them off to school on the bus. So it was for Fruit Stand. The teachers thought the boy's name was odd, but they tried to make the best of it. "Would you like to play with the blocks, Fruit Stand?" they offered. And later, "Fruit Stand, how about a snack?" He accepted hesitantly. By the end of the day, his name didn't seem much odder than Heather's or Sunray's. At dismissal time, the teachers led the children out to the buses. "Fruit Stand, do you know which one is your bus?" He didn't answer. That wasn't strange. He hadn't answered them all day. Lots of children are shy on the first day of school. It didn't matter. The teachers had instructed the parents to write the names of their children's bus stops on the reverse side of their name tags. The teachers simply turned over the tag, and there, neatly printed, was the word Anthony. Names. Names have meaning and significance and power. There are 256 names given in the Bible for the Lord Jesus Christ. 256. And I suppose this was because he was infinitely beyond all that any one name could express and convey. But what about us? Do you know what your name means? Do you know where you got your name from? Did your parents give you a name out of the Bible? Were you given a name that has been passed down in your family from generation to generation? Or were you named after a saint? I was. I was named after Saint Christopher. Christophorus in Greek means Christ's bearer, and that was my parents' wish for me in my life, that I would bear Christ to others. Or was your name taken from a character in a book or a play? Or a musical like the name Wanamingo was for this town we live in. Names have meaning and significance and power. Jesus' name is holy and powerful. In our first reading today, Jesus' name was invoked by Peter and John to heal a man who had been unable to walk from the day of his birth. This man used to sit and beg for money from strangers at the beautiful gate in Jerusalem. Then one day he happened to beg money from two of Jesus' followers. They told him that they had neither silver nor gold, but what they did have, they would freely give him. And then, in the name of Jesus, they commanded this crippled man to stand up. And remarkably, he did just that. He stood up for the first time in his life. Word of this incredible miracle reached the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem, and they dragged the apostles in front of them to answer for their actions. When asked by what power or by what name did you heal this man, the apostles answered, "This man is standing before you in good health by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth." Peter went on to say, "There is salvation in no one else, for there is no name under heaven given among mortals by which we must be saved." Names have meaning and significance and power. From our first reading, then, we can see the power and significance of Jesus' name. First, Jesus' name was used to heal a man who had been crippled from the moment he was born. Then, in the face of immense pressure, Peter stood his ground and boldly confessed that there is no other name given under heaven among mortals by which we must be saved. Jesus' name has the power to change lives, whether that is through miracles of healing or through a conversion of our hearts to trust in Him as the Son of God and Savior of the world. In today's gospel, we see that Jesus is given yet one more name, that of Good Shepherd. I've always treasured this image of Jesus. For me, the image of Jesus as a Good Shepherd is one that reassures me and comforts me when I am scared or confused or sick, because I know Jesus will always come after me to find me and care for me and bring me to safety once more. However, I do not care so much for being compared to a sheep. Perhaps, though, that's because the analogy hits a little too close to home for comfort. After all, we do like to live life on our terms, do we not? We do things in our way. We wander off and find trouble all too easily on our own. And then we need Jesus to come and find us and save us and bring us home safely again. And when Jesus does this, and we are home safe and sound again, then we may gratefully and cheerfully care for one another. Our second reading says that we are to believe in Jesus' name and love one another. They go together. First John is pointing out that the power of Jesus' name should give us a moment of pause. We should stop and reflect about who Jesus is and what his name means. Jesus, our Lord, our Master, our Savior, our Redeemer, is also the Good Shepherd, who guides us along the right paths in this life for his name's sake. Jesus is the Good Shepherd who willingly lays down his life for ours. And so, since God's grace is freely given for us, then we are free to love one another. When we live in and through Jesus' name, we are open to being able to see and act on the needs of others. Because of Jesus, then, we get to, we want to, love and care for one another and for our neighbor. That's the power and meaning and significance of Jesus' name. Jesus in Hebrew is Yeshua, and it means God saves. And that is exactly what Jesus does for us and for all who cling to Him in faith. Jesus saves us from sin and death and the power of evil. Jesus saves us so that we do not have to try and save ourselves. Jesus saves us out of sheer mercy and without any merit on our part. Jesus saves us so that we can be free to love one another in truth and in action, as 1 John declares. So what does this look like for your life? What does your heart tell you God is calling you to do? What is the Holy Spirit prompting you to do in Jesus' name? Some of you may feel very strongly called to serve the needy in Jesus' name. In Matthew 25, Jesus does command us to feed the hungry, give drink to the thirsty, welcome the stranger, clothe the naked, visit the sick and those in prison. In fact, Jesus assures us that whatever we do to the least of these, his children, that we do unto him. Some of you may be called to service in Jesus' name. Others of you may be called to teach in Jesus' name, or to work with our children. Some of you do this for a profession. We have several people who work in our schools here in this parish. Others of us are lay teachers who help out in Sunday school or in Bible studies. And yet, every one of us who is a parent does this every day as we model Christian lives for our children by the way we live our lives. As a parent, what we do in our normal, everyday lives functions as a walking, talking, living lesson on what it means to be a Christian. A Christian is one who bears the name of Jesus out into this world day by day. And so when people look at us and they see us bearing the name of Christ, we reflect on that holy name. And our behavior can either bring glory and honor to that name or not. And as a parent, our children watch us and they watch what we do much more closely than what we say. And so we can impact our children in a very powerful way as teachers who model the holy name of Jesus for them. Still others among us are called to work in the medical profession and to let God's healing powers flow through your minds, hearts, and hands into the lives of those who are suffering and in pain. Some of you create and build things that benefit the lives of others, whether if that's in your own business or if you're a mechanic or because you work at IBM or the Mayo Clinic. God uses your inventive minds to improve the lives of so many of his children. A few of you grow food from the earth. You've been blessed with the knowledge and desire to cultivate the good earth to nourish God's creatures. Whatever it is we feel God is calling us to do in Jesus' name, let's not forget two things. Let's do it to the glory and honor of God. And let's do it openly and proudly in Jesus' name. As Christians, let's not be afraid to tell people why we are doing what we are doing. When I was back home in Colorado, I have a Baptist neighbor. She recently lost her husband at age 62 to cancer. And she went back to the Lutheran church where she had functioned as a parish nurse. And she said, you know, those Lutherans are solid people. They pray for you. They send cards. They send hot dish. They're there by your side. They're just a little shy with their faith. They should be encouraged to stand up and claim the solid people they are, the strong faith they have in Jesus, and then take it one step further and say, we do this in the name of Jesus. We love our neighbor. We care for our neighbor. We're there when our neighbor loses their spouse. And we're there with that solid commitment and care because we do this in Jesus' name. Jesus is our motivation. Jesus is our passion. Jesus is our example. And so we care for one another in Jesus' name. Jesus is not just a name we know of. Jesus is the name of God's Son, our Savior. And His love compels us all to make a difference in this world. I do what I do because of Jesus. And in His name, we are free to love one another. Thanks be to God. And Amen.